I'm author Kat Clayton, and my curiosity quills the crime. In the spring of 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, I thought about different ways I could show gratitude to my readers. Should I write a new book in my series? Two books? Should I give away a novella or post a weekly serial story on my website? Well, I ended up writing the fourth book in my series, but I still needed a gift for my readers. I needed the idea to be different and innovative. I wanted it to be free, fun, and a way for listeners to pass the hours curled up in a comfy spot, sipping a warm beverage during such an unparalleled and difficult time. This podcast is the result of my efforts. Without further ado, here is my gift to you, dear readers. Get cozy and let me tell you a few stories. Welcome back to the Kat Clayton Mysteries. We left off last week at Chapter 2 when Steely was caught rummaging around the upstairs apartment above Scrub-a-Dub, the murder scene, by Officer Brandon Tripp and Officer Jackson. Officer Jackson refused to let Steely go and called Nick, their lieutenant, and also her boyfriend. How to Leash a Thief, a Steely and Cuff Mystery, Book 1, Chapter 3. The sound of squealing tires announced the arrival of Nick. Cuff trembled inside the bag as he howled along with the sirens. Red and blue lights flashed through the windows. A crazy strobe light show displayed on the walls around us. My stomach sank to my toes. "I am begging you," I said. "No can do, not this time," Brandon said. A car door slammed outside and heavy footsteps headed up the stairs. Nick's voice ricocheted off the walls. "Tripp? Jackson? Where are y'all?" "Up here," Jackson said. I dug inside my bag, grabbing my inhaler. I took a puff and hoped for the best.
"Good luck, Chiquita."
Nick entered, his handcuffs jiggling at his hips. Tall and whipcord lean, he carried himself with authority and confidence. Our eyes met. Tipping his straw Stetson back on his forehead, he sighed and mumbled under his breath. "I'll take it from here, guys." He nodded in dismissal to Brandon and Jackson. "We'll be outside," Brandon said, heading for the stairwell. He sprinted down the steps. Officer Jackson nodded and left us alone. Smug jerk. I prayed Nick wouldn't make a big deal out of this. I could understand how it looked, but if he'd only listen, I would explain. That new officer is a real piece of work. I don't like him one bit. "He says he knows you from the Marines," I said. "Well, I don't like that you're interfering with my crime scene. And yes, we served together in Afghanistan. I got out. He did another tour. He needed a job, so I told him we were hiring. I guess Becker liked him." Nick furrowed his eyebrows, fists on his hips. Annoyance and exhaustion plagued his usually handsome face. "Now, what are you doing here?" "Well, seeing that this is my shop, I needed to come check on things. I received a text from Daniel saying he thought he had left the front door unlocked. See? And your friend's a real jerk." I showed him the text I'd received earlier from Daniel. "We're not friends. But he was a damn good soldier. I'm sure he'll make an outstanding officer," Nick said, glancing at my phone screen. "Well, he's nosy enough," I said. Nick raised an eyebrow. "He's not the one being nosy, Steely. He's doing his job." Cuff yipped from inside my bag. "You brought the mutt?" Nick asked.
"Hey, watch it who you're calling a mutt. I am purebred Chihuahua, a unique breed of power and punch, tucked into a tiny package."
I peeked inside the bag, meeting Cuff's bulging eyes. "Cuff?"
"Yes, Chiquita?"
I studied him. "Is it really you?" He whined.
"Yes. But can we chat later? I gotta pee."
"Are you talking to me? For real?" I asked Cuff, hoping this was all some crazy effect of hitting my head.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. I'm...
No. No. This is not happening, I said.
Oh, yes, Chiquita. But it is.
I clamped the bag shut. I covered my ears, shut my eyes, and shook my head back and forth. What's happening? Please make it stop. Steely? Nick said, his voice closer. I opened my eyes to find him standing directly in front of me. I offered him a weary smile. Any second now, I was fixing to pass out. Leaning against the wall beside me, I steadied myself. Nick stared at me. Confusion spread across his face. What the hell is going on with you?
I don't know. I keep hearing this, I said, pausing, and then continued. I fell and bumped my head earlier.
I caressed the bump over my eye. He inspected my forehead. At 6'3", he towered over me. That must have been quite a fall. How'd it happen?
Well, I was running to listen. I mean, Cuff tripped me after you left the house.
It's not a big deal. Only a bump.
And I have a sneaking suspicion I also have a concussion.
Or I have officially flipped my lid. Nick removed his hat and laid it on a folding card table a few feet away from where we stood. He ran his fingers through his sandy blonde hair. Stormy blue eyes stared down at me. Disappointment flooded his face, causing my stomach to tighten.
Look, I realize this is your shop, but what have I told you about interfering with official police business?
I collapsed into him, offering my best damsel bit.
I'm sorry. I needed to see for myself. I swallowed the lump in my throat. I heard it was Samson, and I began to worry about Virgil. He's probably frightened and alone. You guys need to talk to Mr. Peters. I saw him walking across the street with a shotgun. It is possible he saw something and is just afraid to come forward.
I know you hear me, Chiquita. Take me out, or I'm going to take a whiz in this bag.
Who's Virgil? Nick asked. And how do you know who the victim is? He leaned back, holding me at arm's length. His eyes probed mine. Better yet, how did you find out about this? Nick was already plenty peeved at me. If he discovered I've been listening in on the police scanner, I was toast. Super charred toast. I'm waiting, Nick said. Cuff poked his head out of my bag and gave Nick a ferocious snarl.
I may be tiny, but I'm also mighty.
Nick yanked his hands out of harm's way. Ah! Would you put that damn dog down?
Sorry, I said, opening my bag. I lifted Cuff out and set him on the wood plank floor. Growling, my macho, tiny pup strutted past Nick and lifted his leg on the corner of the coffee table.
Sorry, Chiquita. I couldn't hold it any longer.
I eyeballed Cuff, my jaw slack at the mere shock of it. Not because he urinated indoors, but I'm sure I just heard my dog's thoughts. Again. As I had been since... Ooh, the bump on my head? This is so not possible.
Yes, Chiquita, it is.
Your dog just took a piss in here. Nick scoffed beside me. I stood speechless.
It's called marking my territory, wise guy.
Cuff trotted over and sat down on his tiny haunches in front of me.
Are you finally ready to listen?
His muzzle didn't move, but his eyes twinkled. He wagged his tail, stirring up a tiny cloud of dust.
Why is this happening?
I don't know, but isn't it wonderful?
Not really. I must have a brain injury. I rubbed the knot on my forehead. But how? How what? Nick asked. Staring down at Cuff, I ignored Nick.
I don't understand. I pinched my arm with enough force to let me know I was definitely awake.
You are not dreaming, Chiquita.
Nick glanced around the empty room. You're freaking me out. Who the hell are you talking to? Cuff barked up at me.
Snap out of it, Chiquita.
I stared at my pup in disbelief.
Can you hear that? I asked Nick.
Hear what? Nick's face was positively comical, had I been in the mood to laugh.
No, he can't. Only you.
There it goes again.
I covered my ears, shaking my head back and forth again. Nick raised an eyebrow.
Maybe you ought to go get that head injury looked at.
He folded his arms across his chest. Because you're hearing things.
I shook my head.
I'm fine.
But if I admitted to hearing my dog talking, I'm sure Nick would insist on an ER trip.
I turned to him, batting my big brown eyes. Maybe I should go home and get some rest.
Good answer, Chiquita.
Cuff barked.
That would be wise, but you still haven't answered me. Who told you about the shop being broken into and who the murder victim was? He asked.
I'd have to deal with my delusional state later. I needed to get Nick off my case.
I heard you talking on the phone before you left the house. The chief mentioned the shop, so naturally I came to check it out. Since I've taken over from my Grandma Gertie, I have a lot invested in this place. I refused to let him in on my dirty little secret about the police scanner.
So you weren't meddling?
Nick clenched his square jaw and the lower half shifted to the right. If I'd learned anything about him in the past 6 months together, I recognized that sideways jaw shift. Nick knew I was lying. He may not know what I was lying about, but he knew I was being dishonest.
I shook my head. Girl Scouts honor. There it was again. The look.
I can only imagine what the chief's going to say about this.
Well, Becker doesn't really have to find out about it. I mean, it's not like you're going to arrest me, right?
I flashed him a teasing smile. Steely, this is not a time for jokes, he said, his nostrils flaring. He looked me dead in the eyes. Jackson will probably go over my head and report this to Chief Becker. It's been a few years since we've worked together, so I'm not sure how he's going to handle this.
Fine, but will you at least tell me if there was a dog found with the victim? A big black and white fluffy dog?
There was nothing I could do for poor Samson, but I could see to make sure his dog was safe. It'd be the best way to honor Samson.
No dog, Nick said.
Virgil! Where is Virgil?
Cuff darted around the room, sniffing like a bloodhound. I cocked my head like a curious puppy, staring at my telepathic chihuahua.
This is so weird.
What's weird? Nick asked. I glanced at him.
Well, that Samson's dog wasn't with him.
I walked over to the window, overlooking the street. The police lights were mesmerizing.
I wonder if...
Steely Sue Lamar, wondering is what gets you into trouble. I spun around.
That is not true.
But I knew it was. We canvassed the scene. There was no dog. But we've got a lot of work to do up here and a murderer to catch. He raised an eyebrow. It perched over his right eye like a rainbow. So will you please promise to go home and leave the detective work to us?
Yes, but first, is anything downstairs damaged? I asked.
Unable to hide his irritation, Nick grumbled. He closed his eyes and let out a deep exhale before answering me. From what we can tell, nothing appears to be missing or vandalized. We secured both front and back doors, and someone will be by to dust for prints first thing in the morning. There was no forced entry. We found the back door wide open. Y'all need to be more careful when locking up. But to be on the safe side, get the locks changed. He reached for his Stetson and lifted it back onto his head. Now, please go home, and you and the mutt stay out of trouble.
They said that you were, returning to dust for prints, I said.
Nick's eyebrows furrowed. Steely, please. I don't need you telling me how to do my job, he said. He spun around on his boot heels and headed out of Gertie's apartment and down the stairs.
Let's go, Steely!
My guys have work to do up here.
Cuff growled, spurring me into motion.
Fine. Come on, boy. I grabbed the skillet off the coffee table and shoved it into my bag. I really did have plans to learn how to cook.
Cuff mumbled in my head as we descended down the staircase.
In the morning, I am watering the wise guy's boots.
The next morning, I dragged my butt out of bed and avoided waking up the snoozing cop beside me. I wondered what Tommy gotten in last night. Nick had left me a note in the kitchen, informing me the shop could open for business as usual, But Gertie's old apartment upstairs was still a crime scene and to stay out. I applied enough concealer to cover the ugly bruise on my forehead, pulled myself together, and headed into town. The entire car ride, Cuff tried convincing me, it is what it is, and to deal with it. I kept both hands on the wheel, staring out the windshield, hoping if I ignored it, his incessant babbling would stop.
Hello, Chiquita, I know you hear me.
As I pulled into the lot behind the shop, Daniel burst through the back door, waving his arms like he was flagging down a fire truck. His shoulder length, caramel-kissed sable waves whipped around his face as he galloped toward my car. His mint-green t-shirt bore a peace symbol. His skinny jeans rolled at the ankle. After high school, Daniel had attended cosmetology school in Houston. He worked at some hoity-toity salon in the city, but had recently moved home. The local beauty shop in Buckleville refused to hire him because he was gay. Small-town mentality. So now he worked for me at Scrub-A-Dub Grim and Dogs, which was totally the salon's loss and my gain. We'd made some fabulous changes to the shop since he'd come on board. We'd added new spa packages to the treatment menu, began using natural products, selling organic treats, and carrying a variety of leashes, collars, and dog accessories. Daniel ripped open my car door and Cuff leaped into his arms. A wave of heat hit me, the sun blinding. Stepping onto the steaming pavement from last night's rain, I saw Soren a few shops down as she unlocked the back door to her yoga studio, no place like Ohm. Her black lab pit mix Lotus barked in our direction, the dog's tail wagging wildly. Soren called out, "Namaste, Steely and Daniel!" We waved. She was a sweet soul, and it reminded me I needed to sign up for the next beginner's class. I was about as flexible as a popsicle stick. "So, can you believe it?" Daniel asked, his voice all breathy and excited. "Believe what?" I asked, playing dumb. I knew what had him in a tizzy. "That they found a dead body in here last night?" Daniel said, tossing his mane. "Did you get any juicy details from Nick?" "I am dying to find out." Oh, he didn't know. It would crush him. He and Samson had grown so close. "Daniel, let's talk inside." I motioned toward the door. I didn't want to tell him the bad news outside. A few employees from the mercantile next door had gathered out back for a smoke break. I didn't want them to witness a Daniel meltdown, or for him to end up on YouTube by the end of the day. Daniel went right on gabbing in the parking lot, waving his arms, squeaking in his usual boisterous voice. "Oh, but wait. Hot Nick left a note instructing us to get the locks changed. I really don't see the need, but to be safe, I already called Mr. Peters from the hardware store. He'll be by later when he brings Maisie in for her groom to change the locks. And it was so weird. When I got in this morning, the floor hadn't been swept and the bathroom trash was still full. I will have a chat with Samson this evening before I leave. I need a clean space to be creative. I have told him so many times, clutter makes me crazy, with a capital C." Yes. Daniel managed all of that in one breath. It's how he worked, fast and furious. "Come on, let's go inside," I said, glancing around. People are staring. "Steely, when are you going to learn? I don't give a frickety frack what anyone thinks about me." He flicked his wrist for his audience and rolled his bright blue eyes. For added flair, he threw in a loud, "Girl, please." Ignoring him, I grabbed my things from the car and tried to redirect his thoughts. "Daniel, focus. So, how many grooms do we have on the schedule this morning?" And then I needed to address the sad news about Samson. For the first time since I'd gotten out of the car, we made eye contact. Gasping, he clutched his chest with one hand and pulled my chin up with the other. Concerned eyes inspected the ugly knot on my forehead. "Good golly, Miss Molly, did you have an argument with the wall this morning?" I guessed my makeup efforts were worthless. "Tripped, fell, fine." I pushed his hand away. We were making quite the spectacle of ourselves. Small town folks are busy bodies. It takes one to know one. Schedule, Daniel, please?
Daniel slammed my car door and followed me inside, chattering away. Honey, it will be Harry. Get it? Harry? He tucked Cuff under one arm. Okay. We have 4 full grooms this morning. Then I thought we would take a stroll down to Bee's at lunch. He put his empty hand on his hip. She's got all of her handbags on clearance. Bee's Boutique was our favorite shop in town, and Daniel was the perfect shopping companion. Up on all the latest fashions, he offered superb advice, and he had impeccable taste. You don't carry a purse, I said.
I know, sister, but you do.
Besides, Bee's inventory drop-off is at 11:45, and the new UPS delivery guy is hot, hot, hot. He winked, flipping his purple, gray, and mint scarf over his shoulder. According to Daniel, it was all about the accessories.
I smell things. Strange things. Put me down.
Still grappling with the idea of hearing my dog's thoughts, I motioned for Daniel to set Cuff on the floor. I wondered if my sanity would recover once the effects of colliding with the desk wore off. For now, I held on to hope. Daniel set Cuff on the floor, and he darted about the lobby, his sniffer testing the air.
Ooh, not good, Chiquita.
I glanced around. The room appeared in order. Save for a few miscellaneous items on the front counter, the shop phone askew. A stack of client folders in disarray. Pens, pencils, and highlighters sat lined up next to the keyboard, their holding container empty beside them. It appears that the authorities did a pretty good job of clearing the scene, I thought, as I started reorganizing. My pup disagreed. With his nose to the black and white checkerboard linoleum, Cuff zipped from corner to corner, growling. Glitches of his thoughts popped into my head.
Leather, humans, Virgil, my big friend Virgil. Wait!
He trotted toward the stairwell which led to the upstairs apartment.
Blood. I smell blood.
Daniel's voice interrupted the doggy dialogue my brain attempted to decipher. Steely, can you stop shuffling those pens? It's like you're not even listening to me. Dropping the writing tools into the holder, I tried to recall what Daniel had been saying. Handbags, bees, shopping. Sorry, I'm trying to focus, really. I'm a tad distracted because of last night. What were you talking about? The UPS guy? I have been over here going on, and you haven't heard a word, he said in a wounded voice. I asked if you think I have a chance with him. I snapped to attention. Again, I'm sorry. So, has this guy given you any sign that he's interested?
Well, not exactly, Daniel said, twirling the frayed end of his silk scarf. But don't you remember the last time he came in? The way he stared at me?
I thought back to when the delivery guy delivered our shampoo and leash order last week. Daniel has sashayed around the shop. I recalled the UPS guy gawking, but Daniel strutting his stuff was entertaining.
Yes, but what makes you think that he's gay?
Well, because last week he asked me what my sign is, Daniel said. He began humming the tune of Kellis' song Milkshake. Daniel, I'm not so sure, I said. Maybe he's only interested in you astrologically.
It could be a thing, you know. Maybe he's one of those new agey people, I said.
If you mean interested in my ass, I'd say I'm all for it. Oh, and that new ever so hot Officer Jackson stopped by first thing and dusted for prints. Can you believe it? He tapped on the phone receiver. They think the killer may have used the phone because they found it off the hook. What kind of person doesn't carry a cell phone these days? Or maybe he knocked it off the hook right after he committed the murder. He shivered with exaggeration. Gives me the chills thinking that last night a murderer may have touched this phone. He stared at the phone in horror. I haven't seen the paper yet this morning, but do they know who the victim was? He asked. And without taking a breath, he continued rambling. Gosh, I am so glad that Samson and Virgil weren't here. It could have turned out terrible. Daniel dashed to the supply closet, grabbed a broom, and began sweeping the floor, humming about his milkshake. I had to tell him before our clients arrived. Maybe I should have canceled today's appointments, or at least the morning slots. But honestly,
We really couldn't afford it after all the money I'd sunk into the renovations.
Lift me up onto the counter, Chiquita.
Cuff twisted his head in my direction. I scooped him up and set him on the counter. With a dust bunny stuck to his nose, he sniffed the handset of the phone.
It smells fishy.
Fishy? As in tuna or salmon? I whispered to him.
No, like suspicious.
Cuff blinked at me.
You're not very good at this detective stuff, are you? And I can hear your thoughts, too. It's called doggy intuition. We can all do it, but it's rare when a human shares the gift. You don't have to talk so loud. You are lucky.
Lucky?
I shrugged, not understanding why I ended up with doggy intuition or if I considered it a gift. Daniel, before we get started, I need to tell you something. Can you stop sweeping for a minute? I waited for him to quit and make eye contact with me. What's up? He put both palms on the top of the broom handle and rested his chin on the back of his hands, waiting. His playful blue eyes shimmered in the early morning sunlit room. Well, it's about last night, I said. Gosh, this stinks, I thought to myself. About the murder? He asked. Yes, about the murder. You see... Goodness, this was going to be harder than I thought. The person that was murdered was Samson. I closed my eyes and braced myself. Cuff whimpered from the counter. He'd finished his sniffing investigations and had curled up into a tiny ball. He watched Daniel. His bulging eyes watered.
Poor Samson. Poor Virgil.
Daniel sucked in a breath, his eyes brimming with tears. What about Virgil? Is he okay? Oh gosh, please don't tell me if it's bad. I couldn't take it if something bad happened to that pup. Panic rose in his voice and sent it a few octaves higher. Well, nobody knows. There was no sign of him here when they found the body. You mean Samson, Daniel said. Yes, sorry. I mean Samson. Daniel wiped his eyes with the back of his hand, sniffing. He began sweeping again, back and forth with the broom, in no real direction. Well, no wonder the cleaning didn't get done last night. I should have known something was wrong. His voice cracked. Steely, we've got to find Virgil. He'll be lost without Samson, the poor thing. He pushed the pile of dust and hair into the automatic little vacuum thing he'd purchased when he first started working for me. Best investment ever. We will. We'll make it our mission to find him. I reached out to Daniel. You gonna be okay? He nodded and blinked big puppy dog eyes. Yes, but now I will really need some retail therapy. He padded over to the counter and thumbed through a stack of photos. He pulled one out, plucked a thumbtack from the plastic dish, and positioned a photo of Samson and Virgil on the pet picture board on the wall. I took this last week. Samson really loved Virgil. I know he did, I said, nodding. Daniel was taking this better than I thought he would. Hey, friend, we have a busy morning. I also have to run across the street to the bank before we hit B's. I moved to the counter and started shuffling through the schedule book. Steely? I glanced up into his big, cloudy sky eyes. Yes? Can I have a hug? I smiled. Daniel collapsed in my arms and clung to me. Sorry, I know you and Samson were good friends, I said. Yeah, and Virgil, he said.
Oh, this guy is breaking my heart, Chiquita.
I know, and you're right. He is probably missing Samson, but I feel like he's okay wherever he is out there. I patted Daniel's head. Let's see who's first on the list. It's Ranger. Daniel pulled away from our hug and glanced at his wristwatch. Wash and a nail clip. I finally convinced Mrs. Shermack to let us cut his toenails. Gosh, the last time she did it on her own, she butchered him and the poor pup limped for a week. Daniel could be quite the exaggerator. Well, I'm glad you talked some sense into her, I said. I glanced up at the framed menu board on the wall and the variety of creative treatments we had added. Daniel's delight A peach and oatmeal shampoo wash with a lavender oil soak, trim, and a blowout. All that glitters. A spearmint and lemongrass shampoo, a leave-in conditioner, trim, blowout, and a pedicure. The mini was a standard wash and a blowout. The duck hunter, for the male dogs who don't do the poof or the froof. A little stinker, a de-skunking or odor issues. And the sassy, steely shine, a blueberry facial, orange delicious, sparkling shampoo, trim, color highlight, and a blowout. We offer hair color, nail polish, shea butter paw pad treatments, cologne sprays, and much more. "Hey, Daniel," I said, "I know it'll be tough to keep your mind on work today, but you've got this. You're my number one domestic canine appearance technician," I said, offering him an encouraging smile. Daniel grinned. His eyes had cleared. "LOL, Steely, I'm your only domestic canine appearance technician." Actually, I was thinking I liked the term ferologist better. I winked at him. "You got it. My number one ferologist. Now smile. Here comes Mrs. Shermack." Mrs. Shermack and Ranger bounded through the front door, and she ordered the Daniel Delight for her pup. I braced myself, hoping I wouldn't be able to hear all canines. Hearing Cuff's thoughts were bad enough. I waited, glancing down at the little dog Ranger. The feisty schnauzer yapped at me as Daniel led him to the back. Nope, only normal doggy yaps, no thoughts. I breathed a sigh of relief. "Good morning, Mrs. Shermack," I offered her a pleasant grin. "Well, Miss Steely, the buzz at the bakery is that you had quite the fiasco here last night." Her wiry blue-gray hair and gray eyes were identical to her doggie's.
"As they say, Chiquita, like owner, like dog. Look at your eyes."
I glanced down at Cuff's amber eyes, same as mine. "Yes, ma'am, Mrs. Shermack. Fiasco is quite the understatement." Once again, the sadness of losing Samson hit me straight in the heart. First, my sister Stoney disappeared. Then, our family lost Grandpa. And then Mama. And now Samson. Life could be so cruel, and I had to wonder if I was being tested somehow. Mrs. Shermack cozied up to the counter, produced a wrapped slice of her scrumptious pie, and got straight down to business. The woman knew the way to my heart and my mouth. "Have you heard that the Buckleville Hardware is about to go belly up? Cleo Peters has owned that store since his father passed it on to him." She pushed the plastic-wrapped pie toward me and raised a bushy eyebrow. "I'm calling this one rum-buttered toffee." I leaned over the counter, inhaling the rich, buttery yumminess through the plastic and tried to keep from salivating.
"Well, oh no, Mrs. Shermack, I hadn't heard."
I unwrapped one side of the paper plate and tore off the end of the V-shaped slice of pie and shoved it into my mouth. Good grief! That woman gossiped, but she sure could bake.
"Yeah. Bless his heart. I guess he should have kept his gambling in check. You know, he always is running over to the boats in Louisiana," she tisked. "So, what's the scoop about the dead guy they found here?"
Well, she wasted no time. The sunlight streaming in the windows behind her illuminated an unruly 2-inch hair poking out of her chin.
"Any suspects now?
Sometimes, the Southern usage of bless his or her heart didn't really express sympathy, but pity laced with a holier-than-thou attitude. I eyed Mrs. Shermack's chin whisker and had the sudden urge to yank it out, but resisted. I rewrapped the pie slice and set it to the side.
"Well, I know very little. How about you?"
I asked, trying not to let her stubbly face distract me. "Well, I could learn a lot, especially from the town's biggest gossip queen."
"Well, as members of the Citizens on the Watch, we have every right to know what is going on. Has your boyfriend told you anything?"
She tapped her fingernails on the countertop.
"You know if you tell this nosy Rosie anything, she will spread it all over town, Chiquita."
I peered down at Cuff curled up like a cat under my feet.
I hate cats, Chiquita.
Well, that's because they're bigger than you are. No, I'm sorry, Mrs. Shermack. It's still an active police matter. So the COW, I mean, we need to stay out of it. Now, if I could only follow my own advice.
Good luck with that, Chiquita.
Letting out an exaggerated harumph, Mrs. Shermack's beady eyes fluttered. Well, you think that he would tell you the details, or that you could at least do some digging around on your own? That's the whole reason we invited you, you know, to head up the COW. I still can't believe that the rest of the group voted a 26-year-old who is no taller than a middle schooler. And now, when there's an actual, real crime in town, you have nothing to offer. Well, she sure could bite when she didn't get what she wanted. The COW had appointed me as the group facilitator and president when I'd gotten together with Nick. But I wanted to be a part of the neighborhood watch program so desperately, I really didn't care less about the reason. Sorry to disappoint you, I said. Well, when's the next meeting anyway? Tomorrow evening, 5:30, I said. The COW met here in the front lobby every Tuesday, and we would discuss any suspicious activity around town. As a group, we figured out which crimes were important and which ones that we would notify the police department when necessary. Pop was a member, and he was the perfect sounding board. He kept us all in check. Mrs. Shermack cleared her throat. Well, maybe by then you'll actually know something. We can't have a murderer wandering around our town now, can we? Enjoy the pie. She waddled over to the row of chairs near the window and sat down. Every few minutes, she'd peer up at the dog clock on the wall, exhaling loudly. I glanced down at the appointment book, and the phone caught my eye. Daniel had said that Officer Jackson had dusted it for prints earlier. I realized if someone had used the phone last night to make a phone call, the number they dialed might still be in its memory. I picked up the portable phone and hit the redial button. It rang 3 times.
Hello? A male voice answered.
Who is this?
Who's this?
The male voice sounded young adult-like and laced with sarcasm.
I asked you first, I said.
Bite me.
And then the phone disconnected. I hit redial again. The phone just rang. There was no voicemail. No answer. With shaky hands, I tried one more time, failing. Perhaps I'd just spoken with the murderer himself, or maybe he's someone he knew. I shivered at the thought.
Do you have any current good housekeeping magazines around here, Steely? This one is from 6 months ago,
Mrs. Shermack said. She waved the magazine high in the air above her head.
I've read it cover to cover already 3 times, and I've already looked at all the recipes, and I tore out the ones I wanted.
So that's where they'd all disappeared to. I'd wondered who'd been cutting out the recipes from our magazines.
No, I'm sorry, ma'am. That's all we've got. Now, how is that husband of yours? I asked her.
For the rest of her visit, I heard about how she and Mr. Shermack had had a terrible argument and how the bakery might be in financial ruin if they didn't get their finances straight, and that their nephew was in town visiting, and she hoped that he could help them solve all their financial issues. Listening to other people's problems can be an exhausting job, but at least this set of complaints came with pie. I grabbed my fork and dug in for a bite.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.